So we're here to bring the word to you. Even as people sit there still calling everything we say false prophecy, Price is a false prophet of God. He's a liar. He's a thief and a murderer. Then you say, okay, why do you say that? Never evidence coming forth as to why. False prophet. Why? Because I say so. Listen, man, nobody's going to listen to you just because you say so. What are you talking about? Our job, basically, is to get you as a Christian into a relationship with Jesus Christ, conforming you to him, so in the last days, as people begin to die, you can stand alone. Because in these tumultuous times of the end of time, your husband can die, your wife can die, your children can die. The Bible's bathed in bloodshed, culminating the age. So the question then becomes, can you stand alone? Can you stand in the midst of austere conditions alone? That's all it's about right now. So if they yell false prophecy, false prophets, they usually talk about not believing in Calvinism or eternal security, or not believing that you can't judge people. You can only God can judge me. You're a false prophet if you say that he can't, that you can judge and God is the only one that can judge. You're a false prophet if you don't preach love. We have only one responsibility on earth, and that is to love everybody. And then they take their definition of love and try to append it to everybody. And if you don't measure up to my standard of what I say love is, you're a false prophet. You better be careful calling people false prophets. You better make sure that you're right. Because if you're wrong and it's the word of God going forth, you're calling Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and God the Father's revelation false, leaving you out of it. I make no claims whether to be false, true, or anything. I proclaim what I believe, and it's up to the individual to decide what's true or false. False prophets always try to make you believe what they believe. It's not anybody's responsibility to make you believe what they believe. The responsibility is to proclaim it, and you, with your own free will, make the choice. It's simple. See, the Bible undermines all false allegations about the truth. For instance, I'll give you a quick example, not even talking about the message yet. Matthew 24. You deal with Calvinism, unconditional eternal security, that God has sovereign ability to elect anybody he chooses, and your will is not engaged because God chose you. So you don't have to exercise your free will because God's will chooses you, and a baby born today is damned if God chooses that baby to be damned. So that means a child, according to them, in their own doctrine now, election, which says God chooses who's saved, a baby born today is damned because God didn't choose them. Well, what in the devil did they come here for? You see how stupid it is? They got stupid doctrine trying to make you and me believe it, and then you're a false prophet if you don't buy into it. Look at this. Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And then the end shall come. Why are you preaching the gospel if a person is already chosen? Why even go and proclaim it? See, idiocy undermines these false doctrines, and somebody bathed in them is proclaiming everybody to be a liar or a heretic if you don't buy into the filth and the garbage they're trying to proclaim. And Jesus said as a precursor to verse 14, he says, verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That undermines once saved, always saved. When the Son of God, Jesus Christ, says you have to endure to the end to be saved. That tells me, with a little common sense engaged, that you can fall away. If he warns you to endure to the end, that means you can fall away. Then it says in verse 4 of the same chapter, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deception will be everywhere down here. I'm going to show you the separations that take place when you begin to become a child of God that secures the saint and leaves out the sinner. There are built-in separations that will separate you from that person that's not going to be saved. But let's read this very slowly and understand what he just said. Verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now here's how your mind will read that. This is how your mind will read it. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So your mind will tell you, well, that person will say that they're Christ. That's what your mind will fabricate. That person will come and say, I am Jesus Christ, and deceive many. You know, if anybody came down here saying, I'm Jesus Christ, it wouldn't deceive anybody because everybody would say that's a nut. That's right. He wasn't saying that. Many shall come in my name saying, I, Jesus, am Christ, and shall deceive many. He's referring to himself. Many shall come under in my name, representing me, claiming to, saying, I, Jesus, am Christ, and shall deceive many. But what Christ will they be proclaiming? The Christ of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. They're going to use the name of Jesus in vain to make you believe they represent Jesus. He's saying they're going to come and say, I am Christ. He's standing there talking to the people. They'll say, I, Jesus, am Christ. And they're going to deceive you using my name. They're not going to come and say, standing at the corner, hey, fella, I'm Jesus Christ. Because you're going to say, what? You're a nut. But when they come in the name of the Lord, saying that Jesus is God, Jesus is Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Savior of the world, it's going to disempower people to believe it. That's why it warned you later on, you shall know them by their fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. We're going to touch on this again later on in this message. But you got to know people by their fruit, not by verbal proclamations. The reason why people say Price is a false prophet is because I'm not bowing down to the trash. I'll give you an example of what I mean. It happened to me this week. Guy got in touch with me. He said, Pastor Price, I just been looking for you. I heard your message and this, that, and the other. And you know, you're the only other person beside myself I've heard tell this kind of truth, preparing the body of Christ for what's to come. And, you know, I haven't heard anybody else say what you're saying. I'm doing it. And you're the only other person I've heard do it. I said, listen, man, God's got millions of people all over the world. We're not the only one saying anything. And I'm not going to succumb to the pride of believing I'm the only one. Then he gets offended. That's an old trick of the devil to sow to your ego. I've been around 30 years. I've seen all the tricks of the trade. You and I are the only ones that's garbage. They get offended immediately because the demon in them didn't trick you. People get mad when they're full of demons and they come to try to accost you and take you down with that demonic power. And when you don't bow the knee, they get mad. Pretty girl at the club when you were out there in the world got mad because you didn't want her. And now you must be a sissy. With my body and my looks, you don't want me. You must be gay. No, I don't want no nasty whore. That's all that is. It has nothing to do with me being gay. But see, grandiose delusions will defile you. We've got folks walking around thinking they're prophets. And this great anointing I'm under. I hear these women prophetesses say it all the time. I paid a heavy price for this anointing I walk in. And you look at them like, what anointing? They stand there looking like Granny off of the Beverly Hillbillies talking about a heavy anointing. Stop kidding yourself with these grandiose delusions. This is what I have people changing their profile picture every week on the internet. You got a grandiose delusion thinking these sissies giving you accolades and compliments about how pretty you are, how beautiful, lovely, sexy, gorgeous. A bunch of sissy compliments is all you have in life to make you somebody. That's pitiful. If you're a woman and you have such a low self-esteem and self-worth within the confines of your own persona, and you need some sissy dude groveling at your feet to make you feel special, you're pretty pitiful. You need to get to God and let God add value back to you. Right. Know you're accepted in the beloved, and you don't need outside confirmations and validations to make you worth something. Amen. When you're accepted in Christ and you've been made whole, you don't need folks on the outside giving you compliments to make you feel like you're all right. All these women walking around, the Kim Kardashians of the world and the Beyoncés and Nicki Minaj's, they need validation from the outside to give them self-worth. And look how the devil always does you. He degrades you. He makes you debase. He embarrasses you, humiliates you, and then tells you you're beautiful, you're lovely, you're great. Stop. You drag that trash over into church entity. And the same filthy spirit that bound you in the world, you still need the same sissy compliments from little sissy guys to make you feel valuable. So you strip down at the beach in a little bikini and walk around like some kind of a fool to get validation. You walk around in your bra and panties on the beach to be validated. I mean, look how pitiful that is. And this is what the world is full of. People seeking outward validation from a dirty, low-down, demon-possessed fool telling them you look good. It's a pitiful situation. And I bring it up. He's a false prophet. See, that's no love, what he just said. See, I told you he shows no love. It's no love because it's cutting you to the quick. It's cutting your heart open to have you bleed out that venom that's inside of you. You see, have you ever seen an old Western when a snake bites a guy on the trail? First thing the old guy driving the chuck wagon does is jump down with a big old long knife. You know, this probably ain't even real. You probably do this, probably kill yourself. But anyway, he jumps down with a big old long butcher knife, slashes open between the two fang marks of that viper where the rattlesnake bit him. Then he sucks out the blood with his mouth. Now, who's going to put their mouth on a nasty, sweaty cowboy's leg to suck out some venom? Sucks out the venom and spits it out. And does it again and spits it out like he just sucked the venom out that went into the leg. But at some point, for you to bleed out venom inside of you, and the poison, the Bible calls it the poison of asps. A-S-P-S. You know what an asp is? A snake. We've been infected by and infiltrated by the poison of vipers, of snakes. So you got to be cut open to allow the venom of the snake to bleed out of you. That's what's defiling people. They're snake bit. The devil has injected into your personality defiling elements that must be bled out. And there's nobody that can get to that wounded, filthy, venom-infested environment in you unless they cut you open. The gospel preached is microscopic surgery. See, you need to have surgery performed on you. You don't go down to the meat market to a butcher to perform surgery. I've got cancer and you go to a butcher. Sir, I know you're a butcher and you own a meat market. And I've got cancer. Can you cut it out for me, please? That joker get ready to hack you to pieces. But a surgeon can microscopically, with a smooth incision, well placed, get to the cancer, cut out that one infected area where that one cancerous cyst is, excise it, cut it out, and then patch it up, and you heal up, and everything's fine. The Bible says we are not the concisers. We don't cut people off from God. We are circumcisers. We cut around the heart and remove the poisonous infected areas and leave the heart, what? Intact. intact. So these people talking about false prophets and people are telling lies, they are the butchers. Our job is to get into you, cut out the poisonous areas, and leave the human whole and intact to live on and live on in the will of God. That's what it's all about. But I still maintain, whether you go to a butcher or a surgeon, surgery also means there's going to be pain. Even after they shoot you up, the anesthesiologist can shoot you up. When you come out of that anesthetized state, you know what you're going to have? Pain. And you're going to be yelling out for morphine over here, please. Hey, woo, morphine over here, please. Or Percocet or whatever they use to deaden pain, you know. Bring me some of that stuff up in here. Because this surgery did not feel good. Whenever God performs a spiritual surgery on you, you're going to go through days of healing up from the surgery. So if you've been a whore, and I talk about whoredoms, and it cuts you to the quick, it's designed to cut out the whoredoms so you're going to be a normal person again. You know, being a whore is not normal. If you live the last 15 years being a whore, you have a paradigm functioning within the confines of your mind that makes whoredoms normal. So you'll go to church, same tight stuff on, same cleavage out, same strutting around trying to be seen, still trying to show your butt and breast as your calling cards. You know, other people got business cards in the church. Your business card is a butt and breast. That's what, here's my credentials. That's all you got. Because you've been a whore your whole life. My job is not to look at you and say, look, you nasty whore. Look, that's not what I'm doing. But what I am pointing out to you is that you're not normal. There's something wrong with you still. And God wants to cut out all the stuff that you've been programmed to be so you can be normal again. The soul is ignorant. It's programmed through ingestion. Whatever you ingest into your soul is ignorant. It's just like an empty computer. Your soul is going to take what you put in it. It's going to program it to think a certain way, to view life a certain way, and to interact and react with your environment a certain way. Happened all by itself. Why do women dress seductively? Because they're programmed to know that a lust-filled guy will be attracted to them if they look seductive. That's a program. The guy is programmed to respond to the seductively dressed woman. It's all abnormal. It's all perverse. Lust is abnormal. We'll touch on that a little bit today, too, about the abnormalities of lust and what the power is behind it. So, you know, I've been around a little while, so folk calling me names, it don't really bother me. But what what bothers me is the motivation behind why they do it. Mm-hmm. All they do it for is to try to deter other people from getting free. Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. By leaving an open book, they're saying this is a false prophet. Now, people who could have heard it began to second guess and wonder, and why did you say that? Because a lot of immature people who don't know God really fully yet, and they're just being born again, they don't know. So the devil stands there hurling accusations. The Bible says that the dragon is finally cast down, who lived all day and all night before God, accusing the brethren. That's all he does. He's an accuser. One of the devil's names is accuser. Accuser. That's why he's called the devil. He's an accuser. Satan, an adversary. So he accuses and he stands against. He's going to always falsely accuse you when you are desiring to set people free. People in church, if you've been in church any number of years, you know this. Church people, within the confines of any church environment, there are devils. Devils are in the mix. The Bible says wheat and tares grow up together. Wheat and weeds grow side by side. So you always got devils that are standing against the gospel right in the midst of the gospel. If I'm broadcasting live now over the internet, as numbers increase, You know, it's about 1,500 to 2,000 people who watch this broadcast every week. You know, interspersed amongst those people, there are some devils. As I'm talking, they'll be on live stream. Don't believe this. This is a false prophet. This is the devil. This is not of God. This is, see, it's got, you got people on YouTube who have spliced together messages we've preached to make it say something that I didn't even say. You got witches that really do this for real. They work for the devil. You can take anything somebody says. You can take what I'm saying right now and splice it together and have me say something that I never said. That's why you got to know the Lord for yourself. You got to know the Lord for yourself, because deceptions and delusions are everywhere down here. You've got to know the Lord for yourself. That means personal study time, personal prayer time, personal meditations, the hundreds and hundreds of messages available over YouTube by guys like Bert Clendenin and David Wilkerson, R.W. Schombach, all these different teachers and preachers, Derek Prince and David Paulson, all these guys with all these messages, hundreds, thousands of messages. I mean, I've thrown away boxes of cassette tapes, because, you know, cassette tapes are no longer in vogue. Go and get a car at the car lot saying, I want a cassette tape player in my car. They're going to look at you saying, look, man, we don't even have CD players anymore. You can use your phone now. Just plug your phone in. We deal with MP3s now. I like an 8-track in my car. I look at you like, man, get out of here. But see, that's what I'm saying. I've thrown away, I know, 30 years, thousands of tapes. Thousands. Some of them we maintain. Dana downloaded them and switched them from cassette tape to CD to maintain them and keep them. But thousands of tapes. I've got to think about all the Bert Clendenin, all the Schombach, all the Jimmy Swaggart, all the Derek Prince, all these teachers and preachers I've heard over the years. Well, I was buying all their cassettes and listening to them. Some of them I listen to, I know I listened to After the Fire by R.W. Schombach, I know 50 or 60 times. Because every time I was going through, that was my go-to tape. You know, everybody got a go-to message like, hold it, man, I'm going through, get back. Just leave me alone, I'm locking up. I go to my go-to, my ace message that's going to get you over the hump. Everybody's got that kind of stuff. The most dramatic message series I ever heard was by B.H. Clendenin, the End Time series. I locked up with that right there, man. He had the false prophet, the false church. The Antichrist, the beast is coming. I can remember those messages to this very day. It'll reprogram your soul and your mind. You'll see things from a different point of view when you actually just bathe yourself in the Word of God. Stop concentrating and meditating on this nasty, filthy, fallen world and begin to just inundate your mind, soul, body, your spirit with the Word of God, and you'll come out the other end of that process different. You'll be a different human being if you just ingest and digest the Word of God all day, every day, day in and day out. I had a guy from the United Kingdom. He messaged me last night he sent me a email through the Omega site. The email was probably, you know, a page and a half long. He said, Price, I got a hold of your messages. I must listen to every message on your website at least 2 times. Now, I couldn't even remember what the messages are about right now because, you know, it's been that long. But you're going back into 2007 and 2005. See, I go to work, I work a job. All I do is plug it in. I listen to about 8 to 9 messages a day. Now, that's going to be a different kind of human being. You take that and you marry it to your own personal Bible time, your own study time, and your own prayer time, and your own fasting time, and any other teachers that are actually trustworthy that you actually engage to, and you begin to bathe your mind. At the end of that process, you will be a different human being because you will think differently. See, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. God is after us changing our thinking processes. What defiles us? The way we think. We think anti-Christ, anti-God thoughts because we've ingested from the system of the Antichrist, the system we call the Matrix. You believed in it, and it defiled your thinking, and it made you the antithesis of God, thinking Antichrist thoughts, and that has to be changed. All right, we're going to get going here for today. First, by way of announcements, remember the conference, May 22nd through the 25th here in Atlanta. We'll be down at the Renaissance Hotel again. Barbara just mentioned it today. She'll be uploading all the data this month for registration, hotel accommodations. You're responsible for your own transportation. Remember, registration will take care of all your meals, so you don't have to worry about eating when you're here. We handle all the meals when we're at the Renaissance, not like in Destin. We have a suite that we have reserved that handles your breakfast and your lunch. Snacks are always up there. People usually come and play some Monopoly or other games and just fellowship, but we always have our reserved Omega Ministry suite for you to eat your breakfast and feed your kids. We try to get rid of all necessities as far as food is concerned, so you can eat three meals a day and just ingest the gospel without having to worry about all the other extracurricular stuff that you have to deal with. So remember those dates. You can plan your travel time around May 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Remember, the 25th is Memorial Day, so that's like an extra bonus day, either to lay over or travel back. You don't have to be pressurized to travel, because if you leave here after the last message on Sunday, which is usually the Sunday morning message, and then we have a Sunday afternoon brunch, what we call a departure brunch. If you leave at that time, you still got all day Monday ready to just relax and get yourself reestablished at home, preparing for the work week. So that Memorial Day weekend is normally going to be a good time to have this thing, so we might just kind of focus on that weekend from here on out, because it's a good idea to have it built around that weekend to give people that extra day. Also, we're looking at in August or September of next year, a man up mountain meeting for men, getting away to the mountains of either Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or up in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee or the North Carolina mountains. We'll find out where the best cabin deal is. They actually got a cabin up there that will actually sleep 74 people. Jacuzzis, pools, huge commercial kitchen. It's unreal when you start looking. I think it's big as a small castle, and it's a cabin. But it sleeps 74 people. That's the beds. So, you know, guys, you're talking about sleeping bags, the floor, you know. You probably get 110, 115 people in there if you just go in there hardcore and just want to sleep somewhere. But we'll wrap it around a weekend, you know, probably Friday, Saturday, come back Sunday for a mountain getaway. Put that on the back burner. We'll be planning that out into next year. Also remember, Dunamis Tabernacle still seeking a few people to man up and empower this thing. You know, it's amazing. 1,600 people hear this over the internet. Last week, 1,643 people heard the message. It's averaging now between 1,000 and 2,000 people. It falls between 1,200 to 2,000 people every week. That's not counting the MP3 listeners, because when we download it to the Omega site, MP3, it's no telling how many people hear that. We don't have a counter on the MP3 site. Then you got the people who record it and give a person a burnt CD. Then you got folks that download it to their phones, keep it on their phones, and they just walk around. You never know how many people listen to this. But we get people contributing from the United Kingdom, Sweden, Germany, all kinds of places. But on average, as I look at the numbers, on a monthly basis, between 40 and 50 people give. That's pitiful. And then folks say, well, why don't we just what? You got a lot of listeners, but not hearers that do. You know, you got people who are listeners and hearers, but not doers. The Bible says you got to be a doer. You got to step up to the plate and do something. The people that support this, they know they support it. But we're still locked up in that we can't move because we don't have people who have a committed drive. A lot of people support this helter-skelter here or there. They don't have any consistency. You know, they might think about it every 2 or 3 months and send $20. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I don't understand thinking that people have like that. I'll explain that a little later on in this message too. Because we're not into just sitting around giving messages all day. You know, Clendenin told a story about a man. He had gone to a church to preach at a revival. And he said he didn't know why God had him preaching so hard against sin. And at the end of the revival, the church finally broke and everybody came to the altar crying and weeping, convicted. And, you know, the Holy Spirit began to deal with folk and he was pouring through them to get all that stuff flushed out of the church so the church could be brought back alive again. But one man came to the pastor of that church and confessed this. I had swore that I wouldn't give a dime to this church to starve you out. I was going to shut this place down. There's a member sitting in the church by not giving, and I'd starve you out because of what you preach, and I didn't like it. That's the mindset of a lot of people. It's like watching a person on a ledge yelling jump. Folks, they won't be around to see something enhanced and to help. They'll be around hoping for the demise of it. And still participating and still looking at it and still talking about it's a good message. But hoping all along the trail that this will fail. That's why we put no trust in the arm of flesh. I always append these kinds of statements to people who are going to do something. If you're not going to do anything, I'm not even talking to you. You can disregard everything I'm saying. No need to getting offended. No need to talking about, oh, here we go, that same old church stuff, giving again. You don't know anything on this planet that can be sustained without a financial base. That's crazy. You see how insane it is? The insane mind is trying to reach 7.4 billion people without spending any money. That's insane. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with people that think like that. If you do the numbers, you understand that $1 billion is $1 million 1,000 times. Have you ever did the math on that? That $1 billion is $1 million 1,000 times. Bill Gates is worth $80 billion. That means he has $1 million 80,000 times. If you had $1 million one time, you personally, you would never need money again. I'm going to hit on this in this message. Why and what motivates people with that kind of money? It can't be money because they don't need any money. It can't be material possessions. Because they got all the material possessions anybody would ever need. What motivates a person in the world, in the flesh, that's got all that money? We'll talk about it later. But remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, you can give at www.omegaministries.org. Hit the support button followed by donate to become a contributor on a weekly basis. I pray to God that God would raise up 1 million people behind this thing worldwide. We're broadcasting on the World Wide Web. We got service members in the Middle East that watch the broadcast. That lets me know it gets all over the world. We got folks from Japan that watch the broadcast. 1 million people over the World Wide Web is easy. Now imagine 1 million people giving $25 a week. You know, if 1 million people gave $25 a week to this, you'd have $1 billion a year. $1 billion a year, I'm going home here shortly, because we just get the gospel preached to the whole world and let them have this thing hold. I'm not here to be sustainable and live a good life on this planet. If you had $100 billion down here, you still pull up to the traffic light next to a mass murderer. You see, how can you be happy here? You worth $100 billion, they're still gonna rape your daughter. There is no happiness on earth. We're living to live again. Oh, you're a false prophet for saying that. You know, that's the way You can't do anything about that. You got to bring in those that will come and leave the devil and his folks with this burnout hellhole, because God is about to disintegrate this place. Y'all just hang on to it. They hung on the side of Gomorrah, and fire was falling with them hanging on for dear life to a burning inferno. That's crazy. Last thing, remember the prayer line every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock. That number, 1-805-399-1000. Access code 409-367. Somebody contacted me and said they heard the number, but we didn't give the access code out. As far as I know, I give the number and the access code out every week. 1-805-399-1000. Access code 409-367. Get on the prayer line. Pray through. You better pray. Now, you better pray for real this time, because this deal is going down. If you can't see this, I don't know what to tell you. All right, let's pray and we'll get going for today. We're talking about today the invisible kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom down here that you cannot see. And we're going to go behind the scenes to actually take a microscopic look at the invisible kingdom. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, take these words and quicken them to our hearts, that we can understand your word, walk therein, and be changed thereby into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. It's all about the Spirit. The Bible says this whole gospel is not based in meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This thing is a Holy Ghost gospel. And only those that have privy to the Holy Ghost, who have been made privy to the very essence of the Holy Ghost, can walk it out. God, we need more of the Holy Ghost. We need to have the flesh destroyed and let the Holy Ghost bring Christ alive in our lives. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. God, remove this crazy mind of flesh, the carnal mind, which is your enemy, and replace it with the spiritual mind of Christ, that we can walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're talking about the invisible kingdom. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 20. An invisible kingdom that you cannot see. An invisible kingdom. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, Jesus demanded of by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what?
Observation.
You can't see it. It is unobservable. You cannot see the kingdom. It doesn't come with observation. So stop thinking that the kingdom has come down at the corner church. You can't see it. You will frustrate yourself trying to find the kingdom down here in the physical realm. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is not seeable. It's unobservable. Neither shall they say, lo here, or look here, or lo there, look there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Is within you. Golly, that will alleviate a whole lot of stuff as far as performance is concerned in church. It's inside of you, meaning it's what? Internal. It's inside of the human. That's where the kingdom comes. Look what remember Jesus' prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. The kingdom comes inside of you. The will of done is done. The will of God is done outside of you as the kingdom has come into you. So you need a vessel prepared for the master to use. You need a vessel that can accommodate the kingdom. And the only way for the vessel to accommodate the kingdom is to have a vessel that is receptive to the king. No king, no kingdom. So Jesus Christ must be made Lord over the individual vessel for the kingdom to come to you. Church stuff means nothing. The kingdom must come internally inside of you according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Gary Price, not some guy sitting next to you. This is what Jesus said. We read everything out of the Bible. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. It's amazing how many times Jesus always talks about this group called them and they. You'll desire to see the days of the Son of Man, and you won't see it. And they shall say, see here, see there. Like he just said, they'll say, lo here and lo there. Look here, look there. He keeps warning folks, it's not seeable, so there's nothing to go see. Don't go after them. So when they come in town with the Woman Thou Art Loose conference, don't go. When Joel Osteen comes telling you every day of Friday, don't go. This is not rocket science. You got a contingent of folks running here, there, everywhere, looking for the kingdom, trying to get a word. You ever seen all these prophets advertising, tonight going to be miracle night, there's going to be signs and wonders, come get a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord. Come and get your word. I got a word for you. Now he's talking to over a radio broadcast to 10,000 people, telling everybody here in the broadcast, I got a word for you. Let the prophet put his hands on you, and I got a word given to me for you. Be here 7:30. Folks just flock off to it, blind as a bat, not knowing that the kingdom comes inside of you. That's why folk hate this kind of a message, because it's going to give the person personal responsibility, personal accountability, and you don't need extracurricular external forces to validate you. For the first time in your life, you can do something with nobody bugging you. You can go in and get your inheritance and live under the auspices of Jesus Christ via the Holy Ghost, and nobody can have anything to say about it. I saw a guy the other day on the internet talking about Paul Washer said this. Paul Washer, a real man of God, doesn't have time for football and sports and going out with his buddies and friends and hanging around in the streets. A real man of God comes home. He ministers to his wife and children. He takes on the disciplines of home. He labors in the house to make sure his family is taken care of. He goes to sleep at night and he gets up and he does it again. Paul Washer and everybody that believes that can do that. But you're not going to put me in some kind of a vice grip trying to live up or down to what Paul Washer just said. That's flesh. That's the law. That's the bondage of somebody that's a Baptist that people think is a dynamic speaker, but he's binding you. Because Paul Washer has no way of knowing what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. He might be telling you to go with your buddies bowling because God is going to save two of your bowling buddies. He might have you join the bowling team to lead some folk to Christ. He might have you do a lot of things that a person looking at you telling you you shouldn't be doing it. You went to the company Christmas party? Yeah, it was a girl that I've been ministering to, and God told me tonight is her night. She's going to be saved, and I'm down there with bells on at the Christmas party to bring her to Christ. Don't let anybody from the outside of you try to evaluate what the Holy Ghost is leading you to do, because the kingdom does not come with observation. The kingdom is within you, and God will lead you to wherever he wants you to go, oblivious to the bondage of this world, because a free man can never be subject to the bondages of this world. You can go a lot of places. The people in the place may be bound, but you are free. We're here to save souls. It's nothing worse than somebody trying to tell you what to do in a staunch, regimented fashion, because you'll be walking around in a straitjacket trying to set people free. Nobody's going to follow anybody in a straitjacket. They're going to watch you be religiously bound and want no part of you. And the way you are, if that's Christ, I don't want no part of that. You just walk around bound and chained up, fettered and chained, trying to live up or down to somebody's religious expectation. Do you not know the religious community hates what I'm saying right now? A Paul Washer devotee can't even hear what I just said. I said nothing about Paul Washer. I said absolutely nothing about Paul Washer, not one thing. I told you that what he said was wrong. Has nothing personally to do with him whatsoever. I don't have any personal vendettas against anybody. If a guy publicly preaching proclaims something false, he must be addressed publicly. Folks always make this silly assertion. Well, Pastor Price, why don't you go to them privately? And he didn't say it privately. Creflo Dollar didn't say what he said privately. He said it over the air to 10 million people. Why would I go to him privately to correct something he proclaimed publicly? When Peter was off course in Galatians, Paul did not go to him privately. He withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed, because what he did it publicly. He tried to get the Jews to separate from the Gentiles, being ashamed of the fact that, hey, we're amongst the Gentiles and we're Jews. And Paul said, look, I'm withstanding you to your face because you know you're doing wrong. You are nothing but a racist trying to separate the Jews from the Gentiles, Peter. You know you're dead wrong. And the apostle says, I withstood him to his face. And Paul was younger in the Lord than Peter. But if you're wrong, buddy, you're just wrong. It's the way it goes. So you got to understand now, don't let people begin to box you in. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is what?
Liberty.
Then he adds this caveat. Only use not your liberty as an occasion for your flesh. He acknowledges you're free. Now he says, don't use your freedom to get into the flesh and claim that's liberty. Don't try to involve yourself in sin and claim you're free. See, now you're not free, you're a fool. You're free to run just like a train on the tracks. The train can run wherever the tracks go. The train is free on the tracks. But a derailed train is abnormal. Wherever the Holy Ghost leads, you're free to go. So all he's saying. The Holy Ghost is a free spirit. Follow him, you'll be free. You stop following him, you're going to be bound. But if you let man dictate to you what you can and cannot do under regimented rules, you're going to be bound by man and personality driven. See, a lot of people sound dynamic when they speak and people go for it. I don't care how loud and emotional a guy talks and how much vigor and zeal he has in his presentation. If it's a lie, it's just a lie. That's how you got to walk this thing out. Don't be easily impressed by oratory skills. You got to know this Bible. You got to meditate in the word day and night. You got to keep yourself free. Paul put it to Timothy this way, man, keep yourself pure. Don't let stuff defile you. Now, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. Now, keep reading in verse 24. For as the lightning that lightens out of the one part under heaven shines unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Rejected of this generation. The church will be rejected of our generation. We're following the very footsteps of Jesus. Presenting the gospel, signs and wonders are coming forth, and rejected by our generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So he says married wives and given in marriage. What he's saying is it's not about divorce and remarriage. I've heard people say that. They married wives, that's the men. They were given in marriage, that's the women. It's just that simple. It's not deep. It's not about divorce and remarriage. It's about a man marrying wives and a wife is given in marriage. Men and women. You know, this ain't rocket science. None of it is. Until the flood, it got into the ark, the flood came and destroyed everybody. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Commerce was going full steam ahead. Building buildings, planting crops, buying down at the store, at the mall. Christmas is running heavy. Everything looks normal. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What's the two common denominator in both of those texts? Noah's day and Lot's day. Destroyed them all. But what did it take? Noah's separation from the masses and Lot's separation from the masses. The church, once it is removed from the environment, is going to release the wrath of God on this planet. And the wrath of God is depicted in the bowl judgments found in Revelation 16. We're not appointed to the wrath of God. That's God's wrath poured out on sinners when the church is removed out of the way. And he says it's going to happen in the day of the Son of Man. See, Jesus is an interesting person. It's very interesting that he was called three sons. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Son of God eternally. Son of Man, meaning he's a human being, a son of Adam. Son of David, meaning he's a Jew from the tribe of Judah, destined to sit on the throne ruling the Jews as a son of David. He's all three things in one. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of Adam, and the Son of David. So he says, then even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When Adam's offspring, the second Adam, comes back. The lawfully appointed ruler. See, as the Son of Man, he's appointed to rule the whole human race. As the Son of David, he's appointed to rule the Israelites. As the Son of God, he's appointed to rule the whole universe. So you can't get around him. I can rule the universe, the human race, and the tribes of Israel. I'm appointed to all three positions. I'm too high to get over me, too wide to get around me, too low to get under me. All the sayings about him are true. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't go back. Don't think back. Don't remember your past. Don't try to retrieve old dead stuff. Forget what's behind. Press on toward a mark, toward a higher calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to move on and out, man. You keep looking back. You can't drive forward looking back. Go down the highway looking back, driving forward, and see what will happen to you. Whosoever shall seek to save his life, save your life, your temporal life on earth, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The other shall be taken and one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles, really that word is vultures, be gathered together. So, you know, the dead body, the corpse of Jesus Christ was over in Israel, in Jerusalem, crucified. So the age will culminate in Jerusalem, in Israel. All arrows point to Israel, that little bitty small country over there, as the very fulcrum of the culmination of the ages. Armies will surround Israel at the end. There will be an attempt to just undermine and destroy the Jews, the Israelites. You know, really, the Jews are really Israelites. They've been called Jews since the 1940s. They just kind of lumped them into that name. The Jews are people from the land of Judea. But really, they are the 12 tribes of Israel who was once called Jacob. His name was Jacob. God changed it to Israel, meaning the prince. He's a prince. The word Israel means prince. So they are the people of the prince. That's who they are. And people try to come up with they're from Africa or they're black. What difference does it make? Let's say all the Israelites are really from Africa and they're black. So what? If the real Jews are from Africa and they're black, and you're black and you're not saved, you're still damned. See, that's not going to get you in. Jesus was black. Okay, let's say Jesus is black. Let's give you Jesus was black. I don't care. Let's say he is. You're still damned and going to hell if he's black and you're not saved and you're black. His race won't save you. So what are you talking about? What difference does it make? Here you are, a heathen sinner, trying to debate the race of the Jews and Jesus, and you're a sinner damned to hell debating the race of Jesus Christ. You can't get more crazy than that. That's about as crazy as you can get. I'm a sinner, never confessed Christ, no salvation appended to me, trying to worry about what race somebody is. You better get your nasty black soul saved is what you better do. And you can have a black soul, whether you be white, Hispanic, black, or any other thing, Oriental. Everybody's black. You got a black soul that needs to be made whiter than snow to make it in. Folks will argue about junk that's not even appended to them. It's not even applicable to you because you're lost anyway. No matter what race the Jews and Jesus might be, you're still lost personally because the kingdom cometh not with observation. For the kingdom is within you. The Bible says, Hereafter shall no man know Jesus after the flesh. We know him no more after the flesh. It makes no difference what race he is. You're going to think and argue and debate yourself right into the pit of hell, thinking you're some kind of philosopher and knowing something deep. You're going to be deep, all right, right? Deep down in the pit of hell, looking crazy, still standing there probably with a cane, philosophizing in hell. Well, theoretically, I believe hell fire is not really made of sulfur. This is basically synthetic fire here. It's not burning like regular firewood, so it can't be the same. Crazy. The devil can make you crazy. And you're down here talking about crazy junk on your way to the pit of hell and just philosophizing all day long. It's nothing worse than a circular thinker because they go nowhere. They just philosophize and talk all day. They'll take these messages we preach and just philosophize about them all day. Not going to live one inch of them. Not going to do anything about anything. But sit there stymied in a daze, philosophizing. life looking like hell, got nothing, going nowhere, dead in the water, just talking all day and philosophizing. Stagnant, in a coma, mesmerized, hypnotized by the devil, and just sitting around philosophizing. I talked to a guy the other day, this is what he told me. He said, man, I'm in college. I'm majoring in philosophy and physics. I'm thinking, that's a strange combination. See, I dropped the physics because I got tired of all that math and all the stuff, you know, pertaining to physics. And I found out philosophy was really what I liked. I like to sit around and think about things and to contemplate life. I said, yeah. I said, what you going to do? Become a college professor teaching philosophy and get your doctorate in it? He said, no, I've come to the conclusion that I just like to live in the moment. I don't think about my future. I just like to philosophize and just, you know, think about things in life. I don't really think about my future, what I'll do and what I'll ever become. I'll just philosophize and think about life. Now, this guy married with a child. And I'm thinking, okay, philosophically, how you going to live? You know how you're going to live? All that girl's hard work. That's how you're going to live. This fool going to be sitting around philosophizing while this girl hitting it every day, carrying this bomb on her back like a backpack. And he's sitting around at the corner philosophizing with the other drunks behind the liquor store. You want to find some philosophers? Go to your neighborhood liquor store. And every bomb back there with a fearful look in their back pocket has become a very astute philosopher. And not going to do anything but sit around and talk all day. Philosophy is a curse. That's what you got all over the place in church. Biblical philosophers. But what about practical applications to really do something? Well, philosophically speaking, I don't believe that a man really need. Look. Somebody need to go somewhere and slap you upside your big head and wake you up out of that coma. So you can get moving. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, I don't know. I'm just around. Around what? You have been driven out of your mind. Driven into madness down here. Full of Tupac. Full of Jay-Z. Full of Kanye. And any one of these other empty-headed morons that are rapping to you. Here. Jay-Z is a 45-year-old man as a rapper. 45 years old, putting raps, nursery rhymes to beats. And you stand there and sit there in awe of this moron, putting this garbage to beats, and you're impressed by it. He's making your mind moronic. He's making you into an idiot. You walk down the street with your hands moving, just rapping to your crazy self. You've been driven insane and you don't even know you're insane and offended because I say it. You know why you're offended? Because the demon in you is offended. You bought into the moronic filth of a wordologist that's bound you to empty-headed moronic gibberish and you've accepted it as some kind of a life truth. And now you think Tupac is the savior.